You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I've hesitated to say it, but tonight I'm going to. The Rockets are back. On that joyous note, welcome in to another post-game episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily and post-game commentary on all things Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. As we chat this Thursday evening on December 27th, the Rockets defeated the Boston Celtics 127-113 at Toyota Center. It's the third consecutive win for the Rockets since losing Chris Paul. It's their eighth in the last nine games. They improved to 19-15 on the year. They dropped the Celtics, a very quality team from the East, to 20-14, led by 45 points from James Harden. Just a stupendous run from him. A 54-38 rebounding advantage, led by another 18 rebound effort from Clint Capella, also had 24 points. But it certainly wasn't as if they were alone. The two best plus-minuses on the Rockets team, Nene at plus 25 in just 10 minutes, Gerald Green, who made three three-pointers, at plus 24, Austin Rivers in just his second game with the team was third at plus 14. So the bench, even the moments that James Harden did not play as brilliant as he was, the Rockets own those as well. And all of a sudden, the Rockets, it's not just that they've won three straight games, eight in a row at home, eight of nine overall. It's the teams they're doing it against. They have now won three in a row since losing CP3 against the Spurs, the Thunder, the Celtics. This is really good competition, and somehow the Rockets continue to get even better. The Spurs and Thunder games could have been anyone's ballgame in the final couple of minutes. This game against Boston, the Rockets, for the most part, were on cruise control for most of this game with a double-digit lead. Now, the Celtics did take a small lead in the third quarter. Credit Kyrie Irving. The game felt like a Rucker Park exhibition for a little bit with some of the crazy shots that Kyrie Irving and James Harden were throwing in the third quarter. But ultimately, Kyrie, while he was really good with 23-11 on 7 of 13 shooting in his 36 minutes, nowhere near as good as James Harden, who scored 49 in his 39 minutes on just 26 shots. I say just 26 because there's been a lot made of him having to be a volume shooter the last couple of games without Chris Paul, shooting in the low to mid-30s in attempts per game. Well, he dialed it down a little tonight. The Rockets aren't a wildly different team, but they continue to gain confidence and even playing quality competition to see them not only continue their recent level of play but get better. Even I am staggered by this, because I went into this stretch without Chris Paul. My hope was to simply steal a few games to come out of it at close to 500, this 6-7 game stretch, however long it is, with Chris Paul projected to be out 2 to 3 weeks with the grade 2 hamstring strain, and then make your run in January once he returns. Somehow, and I think the addition of Austin Rivers has played a big role in this. Rivers not just with 10 points and plus 14, but playing 33 big minutes tonight. His defense on that end, as was the case Tuesday against Russell Westbrook, continues to be excellent. But the Rockets, I mean, if you were hoping to be 500, they could lose the next three and still be at 500. So I think that's no longer the goal. At this point, the Rockets feel pretty good about where they are. 8 of 9 overall, 8 consecutive at home. They do have one more on the road this weekend at New Orleans before returning home for a couple big ones next week, New Year's Eve against the Grizzlies, and then Thursday, another TNT nationally televised game against the Warriors. So at this point, I think it's time to revise your goals, both for this stretch without Chris Paul and the season as a whole, upward. Because I know the way the Rockets started, I know how down things have looked at times, but combining the strength of this current run with the relative parity in the Western Conference, look, as I said a few moments ago, going 500 over the next 6 games or so without Chris Paul, that would feel like a disappointment when you've started 3-0. So I think you can come out of this stretch even better. And for the season as a whole, look, the Rockets 19-15 now. The Warriors are the number one seed in the Western Conference at 23-12. The Rockets are 3 games behind them in the loss column, 3.5 overall. They are 1 game behind the LA Lakers, who may lose tonight, they're without LeBron James for the foreseeable future, for the number 4 seed and home court advantage in the first round. So despite how brutal this stretch has been for the Rockets, really the entire start to the season, it's all still out there on the table for them, just as they seem to be rounding into form without CP3 playing the best competition. Despite all of those headwinds, the Rockets are still playing their best basketball of the entire season, and it comes at a really great time because when you look around the Western Conference, the top three teams, the Warriors lost their last game, the Nuggets have lost two in a row, the Thunder have lost two in a row, one of those to the Rockets. By the way, the Nuggets, who the Rockets host in about 10 days or so, have lost, I believe, their last eight to Houston. That certainly seems to be a favorable matchup. And the Lakers, number four seed, is the only team in the top four in the West that's on a winning streak, and oh, they're going to be without LeBron James for several games with a strain growing. So not just for the stretch without CP3, but the season as a whole, it's incredible to say it when you look at where the Rockets started. We were talking just a couple of weeks ago about a team that was 11-14, but now at 19-15, and with their confidence surging and with their talent certainly bolstered with the addition of Austin Rivers, depth as well. James Ennis seems set to return, possibly as early as Saturday. Sounds like definitely by Monday at home against the Grizzlies. It's hard not to be really optimistic about this basketball team. And of course, it starts with James Harden. I know we take him for granted now, but even by his standards, this is stupendous. This is MVP of the league stuff yet again. I know we've been through it three times in the last 4 years. Harden has won it once, twice if you count the players MVP. We all think he should have won it three times. Well, somehow for the fourth time in 5 years, he's going to make another run at it. I know that the narrative doesn't really favor him. When you look at what he is putting up, this is 4 40-point games in his last eight for the Rockets. For the season as a whole, he has 8 40-plus-point games, including a pair of 50-plus-point games. We are not even to 2019. He, in this stretch without Chris Paul, is averaging better than 40 points per game, and the Rockets have won all three against the Spurs, the Thunder, and the Celtics. All good teams. And in the case of the Celtics, with Marcus Smart to defend him, a year ago, that was the best team in the league at defending Harden on a percentage basis. Tonight, it didn't matter. His threes were on point, tied a career record with 9 made threes on 18 attempts, got to the line 17 times, made 14 of those, although that's a bit exaggerated because in the fourth quarter, it felt like with Harden 1-3 away from setting his personal record and tying the Rockets franchise record for threes, the Celtics undercut him several times, and that bolstered the total. It wasn't like he was getting a ton of calls on his drives tonight. He just made tough shots, even though the Celtics, long known under Brad Stevens as being one of the best and certainly most talented defensive teams in the league, he excelled in spite of all of that. And without the release valve of Chris Paul that we've become accustomed to seeing James have over the past year and a half. And what's amazing about this particular game for James, Thursday's 127-113 win over the Celtics, he actually entered questionable due to a bruised calf. The Rockets weren't even sure a day ago if he were going to play, but certainly the threshold for James Harden to miss a game is very high. And not only did he grit through the pain and play through it, he came out with one of his best games of the entire season. And I know the narrative is tired by now because Rockets fans have pushed it for so many years, but for a guy that won MVP a year ago, he feels even better than that right now with his individual level of play, and especially the way he is elevating the team as a whole without Chris Paul. Because really, it's not that it was a perfect game for James. He actually missed 11 consecutive shots at one point after starting 6 of 9 with 17 points in the third quarter. In the first quarter. That start helped the Rockets play from in front for much of the game, but just as soon as the Celtics push back, it felt as though the momentum had been zapped. Also, three baffling technical fouls that went against the Rockets in the middle part of the game, and the momentum just got kind of weird, is the best way to put it. And then late in the third quarter, as I mentioned, that Rucker Park sequence between Harden and Kyrie. Kyrie made some great shots, and Harden made even better ones. And that was what enabled the Rockets to grab the lead back. The bench unit did what they've been doing of late, and actually not only held it up, but built upon that early in the fourth quarter. And then when Harden came back in, ultimately he couldn't set his personal record with threes, but he was so feared by that point that he got to the line over and over again, and he iced the game that way. So really, it's not just that he scored 45 points, it's that many of them came at the key inflection points to start the game, which will enable the Rockets to play from in front. Late in the third quarter, when they took that big punch, that big run over the middle sequence of the game from the Celtics, he answered the big push from Kyrie Irving, and then in the fourth quarter when Harden came back in and the Rockets needed to close out the game, that's what James Harden did. It's incredible, it's ridiculous, but at age 29, even with the mileage that's piled up over the years, even with the bruised calf that he's suffering through right now, and the absence of CP3 to help. Now, that's not a shot at Eric Gordon, who played very well, 20 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, even though he made just 2 of 7 threes. Eric Gordon has been increasingly adept off the dribble of late. I like the Smash Gordon nickname that's been given to him by Rockets broadcaster Craig Ackerman, meaning that, well, he's not Slash Gordon because he's below 30% on the year from 3, but when he's making plays off the dribble and attacking the rim, he's still a value. But with that said, this is not Chris Paul. Eric Gordon is not a Hall of Famer. It's not the help that James Harden is accustomed to, and he's fighting through a calf injury. And despite all of that, and playing one of the league's best and most talented defenses in Boston, he came out with 45 points on 50% shooting from behind the arc. Just ridiculous. As great as he was a year ago, as great as he has been now in his 7th season in Houston, I don't know that I have ever seen him play like this. And no, it's not just empty numbers. To see the Rockets win 8 of 9, a team that a couple of weeks ago looked so lost, all of a sudden now be just one game back from home court advantage in the first round, and just 3 games back in the loss column of the Warriors, the team currently at number 1 in the Western Conference. No, it's not just empty numbers for James Harden. It is strongly correlated with winning. And in a stretch where, you know, 2 weeks ago they were 11-14, it felt like this thing was in danger of going off the rails. They were losing so many close games. Now they're winning the games. They're executing late when it matters. And even when it seemed like the hamstring injury to Chris Paul came at the worst time, had the potential to derail things, well, James Harden has only picked up even more since then in terms of his level of play. So salute to James Harden. He's the reigning MVP. I don't know if he'll win it again. That would take something extraordinary, like the Rockets maybe getting back to the number one seed after that 11-14 start. That remains to be seen, although now it's certainly not off the table. But I think the odds are against him. It's pretty clear, at least nationally, there are a lot of folks that, for various reasons, I certainly don't get it, don't like watching James Harden play basketball. But the reality, for those of us here in Houston, it's beautiful right now. This is as high of a level in my entire time of watching Houston Rockets basketball as I have ever seen someone play. Now, I'm not going to throw out Hakeem comparisons because ultimately, for James to get to that level, he's got to win a ring, and he's got to, it's in some respect, it's unfair to him because the bar, you know, no disrespect to the great teams that the teams in the 90s beat in the playoffs, but the Warriors right now are a completely different beast, and so ultimately, James has got to deliver to this level and even more in the playoffs, probably to beat a team of that caliber. But over the past month or two, just speaking as a basketball fan, as someone that's followed the Rockets for now nearly 35 years of my life, I have never seen someone play at this level on a nightly basis. Again, 40-plus points for the 4th time in 8 games, for the 8th time this season, which isn't even to 2019. The Rockets undefeated since losing Chris Paul, despite stepping up in the weight class in competition. It's incredible. Tip your hat to James Harden. This is next level stuff. He's certainly not alone. He's had plenty of help, which we'll discuss more of as we move our way through our 3 points recap. But segment one, it's all about James. Again, 45 points, 11 of 26 shooting, tied a career best with 9 made three-pointers, 6 assists, all while being questionable entering the game with a bruised calf. That's James Harden. That's the reigning MVP. That's the best basketball player in the world right now. Salute Houston. That's how good he is. When you have James Harden, I don't care who you play against, you have a chance. That's what this last week has reminded us. And now, the best part, you don't just have James Harden. You have a supporting cast that is rounding into form, and hopefully another Hall of Famer in Chris Paul due to return in another couple of weeks. More on those subjects as we continue our show momentarily. Jumping back into the program, Thursday night's 127-113 victory, our recap of that, what the Rockets posted against the Celtics at Toyota Center. It's the Rockets' 8th win in 9 games, their 8th consecutive at home, their 3rd straight without Chris Paul. Rockets improved to 19-15 on the year, just a game back of the 4 seed and home court advantage in the Western Conference, just 3 games back in the loss column of the Warriors from the number 1 seed overall. The Celtics, a very quality team, fall to 20-14, led by Kyrie Irving, who had 23-11. Marcus Morris, before getting ejected late in the game, had 19 points, made 3 of his 5 from 3, and of course, defensively led by Brad Stevens, perhaps the best X's and O's coach in the game. That's a quality team. The Rockets just went out and led for the majority of this game. They just out-executed them. So kudos to the Rockets. I mentioned James Harden playing at just a historic level right now with 4 40-plus point games in his last 8. That's obviously the headliner, but in this one, as has been the case lately, it has not been a solo effort. He's had plenty of help. We'll discuss Clint Capela and the rebounding in just a bit, because that was another big story But to me, when you look at the plus-minus figures in this game, it's the bench. Nene, in 10 minutes, was plus 25, 7.6 rebounds, made all three of his shots. Gerald Green, in 23 minutes, 10 points, 5 rebounds, made 3 from behind the arc, plus 24. Austin Rivers, 10 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 33 minutes, made 4 of 8 from the field, plus 14. That's a remarkable showing, and when you think back to a Rockets team that throughout this season has felt beleaguered when it came to their bench unit, their roster composition, once you didn't have James Harden in the game, and that was even when the Rockets had Chris Paul. So to see Austin Rivers contributing this much this early, he's admitted that he doesn't even know the plays right now. Now, to his credit, certainly he's playing his butt off. His effort is certainly noticed by the fans at Chiodo Center. Shout out to the fans because the Rockets winning 8 in a row at home. I think the crowds have been great of late. That certainly helps fuel the Rockets a bit more. And also to Austin Rivers' credit, boy, does he seem to be embracing the Houston locker room, the community. After the game, we heard him call James Harden the best offensive player he's ever seen. So salute to Austin. I know he's had a checkered past when it comes to the Rockets and especially this fan base, but he seems to be fitting in very, very well. But what's remarkable about this game, you know, the first quarter, Harden scored 17 points, he made 5 threes, and it felt like, okay, he's brilliant. But what's going to happen when he goes to the bench? Actually, the first 4 minutes of the second quarter, before the first timeout, when Harden was sitting, the Rockets outscored the Celtics in those minutes 15-9. And they went on another run in the second half when Harden was sitting. And that's why, even though Harden had 45 points, the Rockets were just plus 3 in those minutes, which wasn't anywhere near as good as the bench 3, Rivers, Gerald, Nene, or Eric Gordon, or Daniel House in the starting lineup, who were at plus 12 and plus 10, respectively. Now, I'm certainly not saying that plus-minus is everything, because Harden being only plus 3, that certainly shows you that plus-minus is not the be-all, end-all stat. There are circumstances that come with that. Also, who's playing for the opposing team, what sequences in the game, yada yada. There's a lot that goes into that. The Celtics are a very good team, especially when they have their starters out there, and they're going to make runs. That's just how it works in this league, especially when the Rockets don't have Chris Paul. But while the plus-minuses might be a little bit exaggerated by circumstances tonight, the reality is this. Earlier this year, the Rockets were torched when James Harden went to the bench. Right now, not only are they not getting torched, they're thriving. They are succeeding. They are letting James Harden rest. And in the stretch where you worry that James Harden might have to play, you know, mid-40s per game like J.B. Bickerstaff did in minutes going back to, you know, the season 3 years ago that so many seemed compelled to compare this to after the disappointing start, Harden hasn't been breaking the 40-minute mark in his last couple of games. Now, I'm not saying the Rockets should test dropping him to the low to mid-30s in minutes per game, especially without Chris Paul. That might be a bit much. But the fact that you don't have to break 40 even against elite competition with James Harden playing this well, that speaks to the bench. And it's amazing what a secondary playmaker does. Because, well, for starters, it's tough to stagger the minutes exactly with James Harden and Eric Gordon, so you may not have Eric Gordon anchoring the bench units as much as you would like, since he's now having to start in place of Chris Paul. And, of course, Eric Gordon had been starting briefly even before losing Chris, but we'll have to see exactly what happens when everybody gets back healthy. Hopefully James Ennis comes back either Saturday or Monday, and then Chris Paul early to mid-January. We'll see what the starting lineup and rotation looks like at that point. But I think the real difference now is that between at least having one playmaker, between Austin Rivers and Eric Gordon, and in many instances, both, the Rockets, they're not devoid of playmaking potential. You have at least one creator on the floor at all times. Those guys also seem content with pushing the pace, which is something that when you have the likes of Gerald Green, Daniel House, James Ennis, once he gets back, that plays to their strengths. They need to play faster. That's something we saw Chris Paul doing in December. That was in contrast to early in the year, and he started having more success. Austin Rivers is capable of that. Certainly defensively, he provides another presence on that end. But I think the real difference is just offensively. They seem much more content in their sets. Things don't bog down. They're making plays early in the shot clock if they aren't getting out in transition, so they're not boxing themselves in. But I think the real difference is that you're never devoid of playmaking. Now, even when James Harden sits, the odds are you at least have one, and usually both, of Austin Rivers and James and Eric Gordon out there. So either you have James Harden, the best basketball player in the world out there right now, or you have Eric Gordon and Austin Rivers, who aren't bad. And I know Eric Gordon has had a bad season as a whole when it comes to his jump shot, But as mentioned earlier, 20 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. He's also been an underrated facilitator since the Rockets lost Chris Paul, and he's had to step in, Gordon that is, into that number 2 playmaking role. He's been decent off the bounce. That Smash Gordon nickname from Craig Ackerman is well deserved. So you have two guys in Rivers and Gordon that can get out in transition, that can throw their bodies around, that can collapse the defense because they're willing not just to shoot from 3, but they're able to attack the cup and get inside. That, to me, is the biggest difference. And, of course, it helps that Gerald Green and Nene are playing with the energy they are. Those are two veteran presences, but they were also a part of some bad bench performances for the Rockets this year. And I don't think it's necessarily that Nene and Gerald Green are playing that much better. Now, certainly it helps that Gerald Green's early shooting funk seems to have passed. But generally speaking, I think Gerald Green and Nene, they are what they are. You know what you're going to get from them. The question is more the variables, and I think the uptick in production this month from the bench largely had to do with Chris Paul starting to get back into form, especially when it came to pushing the pace. And then as soon as he went out, the big question was, how do you keep that going, especially the minutes without James Harden? And not only are they keeping it going, they have been building upon those leads. That may not be reasonable to expect moving forward every game. I don't know if the bench is that good from a talent perspective, but even if they're capable of just keeping it level, then you combine that with what James Harden is able to do in the upper 30s minutes that he played, then yeah, this basketball team can compete with anybody. They are that good when James Harden is playing at that level. Now, it might not be fair to expect James to be this god mode, that's what I've called him, of late the entire season long, but hopefully if there's any regression from James Harden, well, that's when you get Chris Paul back in mid to early January, and as mentioned, Chris Paul should be due for an uptick in his shooting, well below his usual efficiency numbers in terms of his jump shot, especially from behind the arc. So hopefully that can relieve James, even if there is a bit of a shooting regression at some point. But for now, James has help. It might not be the help we anticipated, but the bench, since the addition of Austin Rivers, I know it's just 2 games, but he is fitting in so well. He embraces the moment, these spotlight games, the way he carries himself, I think that's a big part of it. But beyond it, I think it's also the Rockets aren't predictable. They're playing to their strength. They're getting out. They're pushing the pace. They've got multiple playmakers on the floor at all times. And Nene and Gerald Green, they're just being put in better positions to succeed. I don't think their performance is radically different than a few weeks ago. I just think when you have multiple playmakers at all times, when you're able to push the pace, when you have Daniel House, who, again, his stat line won't stand out, but 7 points, 8 rebounds, plus 10 in his 28 minutes, and of course is so good in transition, not just offensively, but defensively, he helps their lapses previously in transition defense. He's mitigated many of those with his effort. All of a sudden, the bench isn't a liability, and so that speaks to how big the Austin Rivers signing is, but it also speaks to tactical adjustments by the coaching staff, pushing the pace. We've talked a lot about, you know, with the success of Clint Capella, more on him in just a couple of minutes, and the Rockets led by Mike D'Antoni and Jeff Bezdelic starting to drop him more to play to his rebounding strengths and play down his weaknesses this year at defending on the perimeter relative to a year ago. Well, another big adjustment they've made this month is pushing the pace with that bench unit. And now you throw in Austin Rivers, who at just 26 years old still has a lot of springs, a lot of athleticism. He has a chip on his shoulder in a contract year. Now he's thrust back, a guy who's kind of a gritty gamer. That's always been his reputation. And now he's with a team that is supposed to be a contender. This feels like a really good bench, and I don't think they're going to be an upper echelon one by any means, at least at the moment. Now, they could be once they get Chris Paul back. We'll have to wait and see how things look once Chris Paul and James Ennis and the Rockets have a full cast of characters. But for now, they're at the bare minimum capable of keeping the Rockets afloat, if not a lot more than that. And then you combine that with what they're getting from James Harden in MVP mode. Yeah, even without Chris Paul, that's why this basketball team has won 8 of 9, 8 straight at home, 3 straight even without CP3, and looks, I don't know if they're like the 65-1 juggernaut from a year ago yet, but they're as close to that as we have seen, and it's by far the healthiest they have looked since the beginning of this 2018-2019 season. Last segment of Thursday's show, as we wrap up the 127-113 victory the Rockets posted at Toyota Center over the Boston Celtics. And it's going to feel very similar to what we said on Tuesday, Christmas Day, after the recap of the Thunder. It's the rebounding. Boston entered this game. Now, they're not a great rebounding team with Al Horford in the middle. They don't have a ton of explosive athletes. The front line, Al Horford, Marcus Morris. They're not exactly a prototype team of bangers. But they're middle of the pack. They entered tonight 18th in the league, which is roughly mediocre in rebounding differential. And part of it, even though the bigs aren't really that much of great rebounders. You look at their wings, the likes of Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart. There's a lot of long, rangy types out there. So even though they're not the most imposing team physically, they are able to get their hands on a lot of loose balls. And the big turnaround since the one game the Rockets have lost in their last nine, that last Thursday night in Miami when they were out-rebounded 61-41, Mike D'Antoni called them out after the game for letting so many loose balls get away. Boy, have the Rockets turned it around in a big way. They out-rebounded San Antonio 58-43. Oklahoma City, which has so much length, with Steven Adams, an old Rockets nemesis inside, Jeremy Grant, Nerlens Noel. On paper, that looked like such a bad matchup for the Rockets. Rockets actually out-rebounded them slightly, 54-52. And then Thursday night, they just obliterated the Celtics on the glass, 54-38, led by 18 from Clint Capella, and as previously mentioned, 8 from Daniel House Jr. in just 28 minutes. So it's a team effort for the Rockets. Nene also had 6 in just 10 minutes, which speaks to how he was throwing his body around. Again, a team best plus 25. The Rockets were in those 10 minutes from Nene. But the Rockets, previously, they had started to drop Nene more because he's 36 years old. You're not going to switch. But the adjustment to play to Clint Capella's strengths, is that what's going to work against the Warriors in the playoffs? I don't know. But first off, it's not even like Clint Capella played all that much. There were stretches in the fourth quarter in that Western Conference Finals a year ago where the Rockets went tuck wagon. So it remains to be seen exactly what Clint Capella's role against the Warriors is, and it's also not exactly the same Warriors team, because by the time the Rockets could potentially play the Warriors in the playoffs, the Warriors may have Boogie Cousins, which could make them look an awful lot different than they have in previous years when the Rockets have had to worry about the death lineup and probably needing to switch everything as a result of that. So there are various circumstances where the Rockets probably aren't as concerned about the Warriors in late December as they might have, say, this time a year ago. The record also has something to do with that. You can't worry about the Warriors when you're just trying to get into the playoffs, and the Rockets, even a week or so ago, were on the outside of the playoff picture. But with all the headwinds they faced, the Rockets had to find a way to just get going right now. They can worry about the rest later, and as mentioned, the Warriors may not even look the same once Boogie Cousins gets going. They may be a bit of a different dynamic to match up to in the playoffs. It's hard to even predict them the way you could in the past, and it's not like they've looked all that dynamic themselves to start this year, 23-12, relatively disappointing by their standards, especially without that many injuries in the grand scheme. But as far as the Rockets are concerned, the adjustment to drop Capella more, Mike D'Antoni, Jeff Bezdelic, Roy Rogers, the coaching staff, that's worked out really well. And the loss of Chris Paul, I certainly don't think it's a good thing, because the Rockets are better with Chris Paul. Even though his shooting percentages have dipped this year, he's still a Hall of Famer. His presence means so much for them. But I think once they lost Chris Paul, they knew they lost their margin of error to be an elite offensive team. And combine that with the schedule they're facing, they knew they had to just completely enhance their focus on the glass. What they did, losing by 20 in Miami, and I know there were scheduling circumstances with that, second night of a back-to-back, that just was not good enough. And I think that loss, combined with losing Chris Paul at the worst time, it shook the Rockets to their core. And they made some good tactical adjustments already. The decision to stop really switching Clint Capella on the perimeter came a couple of games before losing Chris Paul. But then that tactical adjustment with the emotional adjustment of losing Chris Paul, being aware of who's on your schedule, the Rockets had no choice, and they still had no choice, even with these wins. It's not like they have an overwhelming talent advantage. They've got to create second chance points. Clint Capella had 9 offensive boards of his 18 overall tonight. They can't give second chance points to the other team. They just are not good enough offensively, even with the three-point shooting. I know they set an NBA record with 26 made threes a little over a week ago against the Wizards, but the Rockets, they're not as dynamic as they are used to being from a talent perspective, record as a whole, even with this stretch of 8 of 9, they're just 19-15. They're not where they want to be. They're not the 65-win juggernaut in terms of every night they feel that they just should beat a team by showing up. It's not there anymore. They've got to be more blue-collar, and kudos to Clint Capella, Nene, the bigs, the veterans, in the case of Nene, but also Clint Capella, this is year 5, they're setting the right tone. And even for a Rockets team that's starting a 6'6" P.J. Tucker at power forward, well, they started P.J. Tucker at power forward for a lot of last year as well, and they were a good defensive rebounding team for 3 games at least against pretty strong competition. The Spurs, the Thunder, and the Celtics, they've turned it around. And while James Harden and the bench are the leading storylines, the rebounding is right up there with it, because all season long, the Rockets have been a bottom 5 team in rebounding rate, especially on the defensive end, and all of a sudden, that has flipped in a big, big way. They needed something, because after losing Chris Paul, the talent advantage isn't there. Well, the bench and the effort the little things. Certainly adding Austin Rivers to fortify that bench, so the minutes without James Harden, they're not losing those anymore, but also just the sheer effort, the minutes that James Harden is in, the minutes that he's not, it's just a lot better. They are doing the little things right now, and that's why, in my opinion, it's not just James Harden going God mode. No, it's the team as a whole. They are building confidence, they are rounding into form, and even though they're just four games over 500, which they are for the first time this season, when you combine the entirety of the performances, not just Harden, but the rebounding, the defense, which Austin Rivers is helping a lot on that end as well, the bench. I mean, the amazing thing to think, they could be even better. Eric Gordon and PJ Tucker, for example, shot just 3 of 11 from behind the arc. Imagine if Eric Gordon has an ascension to the mean from three-point range. He's below 30% this year, one of the least efficient shooters in the league. Imagine if he has, just 30 years old, it's not like there's any age-related reason to expect him to decline. Imagine if Eric Gordon gets going. It's not even like the Rockets are clicking on all cylinders. But you combine James Harden right now with the defense, with the rebounding, with the bench, and then just imagine if you get Chris Paul back, and then if you get Chris Paul and Eric Gordon shooting anywhere near the levels you expect them to be at this season, as good as the Rockets are now, they could be even better. And that's perhaps the most satisfying part of this, is because the ways that you've been getting contributions these last two games, the bench, the rebounding, you wouldn't even necessarily expect that. So you add that on top of James Harden, and you still realize in your back pocket that there's potential for Eric Gordon and eventually Chris Paul to give you more than what they are giving now. Well, you combine that with a team that's won 8 in a row at home, 8 of 9 overall, now 3-0 without Chris Paul. Yeah, that's why I'm really excited about this basketball team right now and what we're seeing on the floor. Anyway, with that, I think that's an appropriate point to leave off this Thursday evening episode. Again, the recap of the Rockets' 127-113 win over the Celtics at Toyota Center on Thursday night. If you want more coverage before our next episode, most likely following the Saturday night game in New Orleans, the best place to get it is on Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. My handle is simply my name. We also have a show handle at Locked On Rockets and a podcast network handle at Locked On NBA Net on both Twitter and also on Instagram. Those are curated feeds in which you can get insight, both audio and written tweets, from our experts around the association. So if you want to see what they're saying in Boston after this game, or what our experts in New Orleans are saying before and after the Rockets-Pelicans game on Saturday night against a Pelicans team that all of a sudden it feels like is spiraling and in a bad state of affairs, not just several games over 500, but now with all the rumors surrounding Anthony Davis, 15-20 is not where they want to be. So if you want to hear the outside perspective, not just in the Rockets, but their teams as well, then check out that national curated feed at LockedOnNBANet on Twitter and Instagram. Also, a few other plugs I want to toss out. Our email address, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. If you've got questions or suggestions for me that are longer than the 280 characters you're allowed with a tweet, or maybe you don't want to make them public, then that's another way you can get in contact with me. I also suggest that you get in touch with me about potentially becoming a sponsor of this program through that LockedOnRockets@gmail.com address, because we've got some great introductory specials. We've got a very growing audience these days with the Rockets playing so well. So yes, if you've got a product that you would like to reach our audience, then yes, I would love to help your business, and of course you would help the show keep going as the only daily podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. Besides advertising, another way you can support, of course, is subscribing. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Megaphone, Spotify, so on and so forth. Subscribe, leave 5-star reviews. That's how you'll get episodes right when they come out, even before I can post to Twitter. And we'll get the benefit, especially if you leave the 5-star review, of boosting our subscriber figures and our ratings so that we look attractive to potential advertisers around the country and even around the world. Also, keep in mind, in addition to subscribing to us, we're also working with a lot of voice assistant programs. So if you like to listen to your phone when you're driving or when you're working out, just say play podcast Locked On Rockets and you can find us, or really any show. You can say play podcast Locked On Texans. That'll find our sister show Locked On Texans on this great Locked On Podcast Network covering the Houston Texans of the NFL, or really play podcast any team across the NBA, NFL, and even some Major League Baseball and college markets. So again, not just your traditional providers like iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, but also voice assistants, Alexa, those types of things. Yes, just say play podcast Locked On Rockets and you should be able to find us that way as well in our most recent episodes. Once again, the happy final from Toyota Center. Rockets 127, Celtics 113. James Harden scores 45 points. It's his fourth time in 8 games to score 40 plus points, his 8th overall this season. The Rockets have now won 8 in a row at home, 8 of 9 overall, 3-0 without Chris Paul. How sweet it is. With that, enjoy the rest of your evening and come back soon for more episodes right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily discussion of Houston Rockets basketball.